Prabhupada said that one who eats more than required will dream very while sleeping, and he must sleep more than is required. Is it referred to the prasadam? When somebody eats more prasadam than he needs, can we see that it's not good for his spiritual progress?
We say to respect prasadam, and not we use this term, someone respects prasadam. So if he eats more than required, he might consider prasadam the object of his sense gratification, and therefore no longer respect prasadam. In other words, the prasadam is always spiritual, but our attitude towards prasadam may become material, and we will get a material and the prasadam may be of a spiritual substance. Our body, however, is material, and our material body reacts to too much. So it is definitely affected by the spiritual prasadam, which is eaten in too great quantities, could cause a material reaction, which is oversleep. In the beginning, of course, we encourage everyone to eat as much prasadam as is necessary in order to forget his attraction to any other foodstuffs. But later, a devotee is expected to become mita-bhuk. Mita, the Sanskrit word mita, means a measured amount. He eats only as much as is required, and not more than is required.
If somebody eats only fruits, is it good?
There may be instances that devotees, due to health reasons, follow a fruit diet. But in general, Krishna says that all living bodies subsist on food grains. So a balanced diet, which includes, amongst all other things, grains, is best. Prabhupada gave the ideal diet plan. In the morning it should be light with fruits, and in the evening, in the midday, it should be grains and vegetables. And he also gave a rule. There's also the rule, never mix fruits and vegetables together. Not that on one plate there's a fruit preparation and a vegetable preparation, because the two don't go together in the stomach, they will cause problems. So, if a devotee, due to health reasons, does only a fruit diet, there is no harm, it will be good. But I would warn, from practical experience, that devotees, due to the desire to perform special austerities, only eat fruits. In Krishna consciousness, we advance also because we take Krishna prasadam. It is not that we advance by austerity alone.
About prasadam, if prasadam stays long time and becomes not fresh, can we say that this prasadam is in ignorance?
Srila Prabhupada once heard that devotees were going to throw away a burnt bread, and he said, give me from that bread, in order to show that prasadam in any circumstance is spiritual. But again, we have a material body, is that our material body cannot appreciate spiritual things. That's unfortunate. For instance, you might like to dance throughout every day and night without stoppage, and this is certainly a very good spiritual practice, but your material body at one stage will say, oh, it's getting too much, I need a rest, or my muscles are hurting. So we have to, therefore, our life should be regulated so that the material body does not create any conflict for our spiritual development.
Thank you. Is it possible to throw down the material world from Krishna Loka and from Vaikuntha planets?
This is, of course, a very difficult question. Usually Srila Prabhupada answered these questions by saying that we are now in the material world, and we should now ask how we get out of the material world. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave the example of someone who gets hit by a bullet. It is when in the battlefield, it is when you are getting hit by a bullet, you don't investigate who shot that bullet. You try to get it out as soon as possible. But still, devotees want to know. So there are different cases that Prabhupada speaks, says, for instance, that it is not possible to fall from an active serving relationship to Krishna. So some devotees interpret this to mean that it is not possible to fall from Krishna Loka, because in Krishna Loka everyone who is there has a service relationship to Krishna. Now, at the same time, Srila Prabhupada says that we all were once with Krishna, and the process of Krishna consciousness is to go back to Krishna. It means we were already there, and therefore we go back. You can't go back to India if you were not already in India. You can go back to Russia, because you come from Russia. So there are many statements which for our reason sometimes seem to contradict themselves. Like in the seventh canto it says, you cannot fall from Vaikuntha Loka. So I would say, in the last analysis, it is inconceivable for our mind to understand, because these are spiritual realms and our mind is not capable to understand the spiritual world. The way I understand this, and I've spoken a lot as devotees and visited seminars, is that their souls in many different spiritual positions, and when they stop their active service to Krishna, for some reasons or another, they fall down. It is not that in the spiritual world we hate Krishna, and for that reason become inimical towards him and fall down. No, in the spiritual world, when we are together with Krishna, we develop a somewhat passive relationship to him, and since we are endowed with free will, we develop the desire to do something different than serve him. To serve him in a different way. It's just like you might like to always eat your most favorite preparation might be strawberries with cream, but some t-
times you desire, no, today I will only eat mashed potatoes. It is a sign of free will that you have a variety of tastes. So in the spiritual world we somehow develop that desire, no, today, no, not today, no, this time I will serve, I will be not in the direct service, in my service to Krishna, I will serve him as something else. And then you come to Lord Brahma's position, where you serve still Krishna, and like that. It's not that you fall from the spiritual world and become a barkeeper in New York, you know, that you desire in the spiritual world, let me serve out beer to drunken people. No, it is a gradual process of degeneration which starts at the highest form of Lord Brahma and goes down. So this is one explanation. It's not the explanation, the all and all absolute explanation for this phenomena, but it gives a good explanation to this phenomena that somehow we can leave Krishna, because that's usually the question. How could we be so foolish to ever desire something separate from Krishna if we are perfectly situated in the in Krishna's service? Then how could we be so foolish? The answer is free will, and you do not utilize this free will immediately to do something completely foreign to you, like serving out beer in New York. No, you still have the even the highest, the first forms this soul falls in are forms where they are still a little bit Krishna conscious. Then it goes down. Then there are other cases. You understand, I think it's a difficult thing. There's not one answer to everything. Good. Lotus feet. The law, the devotee is very respectful towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He considers himself very low and the Lord very high. So in this way he approaches the Lord by approaching his feet, because usually the feet are considered to be the lowest part of the body. It's an expression which explains the humble position of the devotee. Another expression is that another reason why we use the lotus as and indicate lotus feet is because Krishna's feet are the most wonderful feet. It is not that they are like our feet, low parts and smelly and always full of dirt because we walk with our feet through the street. No, Krishna's feet are always transcendental, like the lotus. Lotus may grow in a swamp. Swamp means where water and earth is. When you go, whoop, you go in. The lotus is always above the swamp. So Krishna's feet are always above this world. He may appear in this world, but he doesn't. One explanation I read, Vishnu, when he appears, appeared in the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Prithu, he didn't touch the earth. He was above the earth. Krishna is always above the world of mortal men, even if he appears here. He is always transcendental and situated in a superior position, just like a lotus flower. It is this is a very this question can be answered on different levels. Once I asked this question to in Vrindavan, and Sri Vishnupada, who is your spiritual master, I will give his answer. He told, I asked him, we have heard that when we come into the spiritual world, one of the associates of Krishna will show us our individual service and will, how would you say, will give us guidance. Have you heard this? Have you read this? No? No. It is there in Srila Prabhupada's books. So I asked, is this eternal associate our spiritual master? And he answered, yes. So our spiritual master has an eternal form, an eternal identity as an eternal servant of Krishna, and he will engage us in our service to Krishna. He will say, fan like this. Might be easier to do it one by one, isn't it? Or are they related, these questions? Are they connected? Comes from a purport in Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that Tesham Satada Yuktanam Bhajatam Pritipur Vakam Tadhami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamang Upayantite, which means that when you are engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality, yeah, to those who are constantly engaged in my service, I give the intelligence by which they can come to me. So, dadami buddhi yogam tam. Dadami means giving, and buddhi the intelligence by which they can come to me. And Prabhupada says in the purport that even someone who is not intelligent enough to take advantage of a spiritual master and a spiritual organization, he can be guided by the super. He will be guided by the super soul, and then it comes, provided he is in Krishna consciousness. You follow? Someone who is in Krishna consciousness, he will get inspiration from the super soul. That is true, but a devotee knows that up to the point of being in Krishna consciousness, that's sometimes a long way. Krishna consciousness means you are no longer under the influence of the material nature. Krishna consciousness means you are always full of love. Krishna consciousness means you are a transcendentalist situated in, or living in Krishna, situated in Krishna. It's a high state. And on that state, you are always guided by the super soul. But who of us can say in his right mind he's in this state? So devotees, I feel, who say that they don't need an altar, they might be a little in ignorance about the spiritual progress. Of spiritual process, to have an altar and to engage in strict devotional service is a help for Krishna consciousness, a necessary help, because on our platform we are very dependent on sadhana. Sadhana means those activities which prepare us for eternal spiritual life, and these are activities, they are prescribed in the scriptures for people on our level who are still conditioned souls, who are aspiring to become Krishna conscious. Krishna, he says, he speaks of the advantages of following the rules and regulations of freedom. He calls them the rules of freedom. By following the rules of freedom, you will get free from attachment and aversion. In other words, you will become constant in your devotional service after some time. So by following these rules, we will come after some time on the spontaneous platform where we are no longer under the clouds of material influence, and then we will be under the guidance of the Krishna. But in order to get there, we must become a strict follower of the rules. Otherwise, there's no chance that we will become free from our material conditioning. It is a hard point to swallow, but I think everyone who is honest with himself, he will see that for spiritual progress, rules and regulations are extremely necessary, so that he does not fall down on the material platform where he will be attracted to the material world. So after some time, if he has followed, he will be able to perform a full devotional service. That means he will give up everything which is not necessary for devotional service, which is not favorable. He will accept everything which is favorable. Certainly a difficult stage. He will feel always completely under the shelter of the Supreme Lord. He will be completely dependent on the protection of the Lord. He will work only according to the plan of the Lord. He will be always meek and humble. So that are six symptoms of full surrender, which no conditioned soul at the beginning can follow. So we have to be elevated and purified by following the rules which are given by Krishna. And if we don't follow them like machines, but with full attention on Krishna, we will become quickly Krishna consciousness, Krishna conscious. So sometimes I heard only the most wonderful things about the Russian devotees, but I can well imagine that we also have neophytes in Russia, like everywhere else in the world, and that there are also excuses, like to not surrender fully, like everywhere else in the world, and that material contamination is also in Russia, like everywhere else. So I think it might be an excuse for lazy men, unsurrendered men who have no who are not they may be well intentioned, but their self analysis might not go deep enough. But it is a common thing, and we want to no one likes to follow rules and regulations. We want to be inspired, and that is a good thing in the thing. It is said it's an anchor to material life to just follow rules and regulations without understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the devotees. In other words, to be like a smarter Brahmana who, in order to take bath, has to make so many rituals. It is definitely a good motive is behind this. But these devotees who argue like this should understand that they, by following the rules and regulations, they will experience a great relief from their mind, a great freedom, freedom to think, to move, and to be extremely concentrated and determined. And they all should follow this and not cheat themselves by saying, "Oh, I'm already on the spontaneous platform." If someone is, then we can see if he has given up all desires except the desire to serve Krishna 24 hours a day. Then he is in his eternal position. And someone who is like that, yes, he may sometimes not follow all rules. He may be in direct communication. But someone who is seen to be a little attracted to material life, whose determination is going back and forth, and who is maybe full of bad habits and material impurities, he must be purified. And that applies to most of us. Mm-hmm. So another point I wanted to just make before answering this point, that our spiritual master is very important for developing Krishna consciousness, and Krishna talks of this in the Bhagavad Gita, that if you want to know me, you have to go to a spiritual master and serve under his guidance. So he gives us the rules and regulations. So your next question regarding the duties of householders, when the spiritual marriage takes place, the husband promises to his wife and the wife promises to the husband, I shall take care of my wife of so and so, Devidasi, both in spiritual and in material matters. So the grihastha has a duty towards his wife to fulfill. Now if they can arrange it in the marriage life that he preaches and goes to other cities, and she is capable to take care of the children or to be engaged herself in devotional service, that is very nice. That's actually a very nice relationship where the wife helps the husband to do more preaching work. But if for some reason the husband's presence is required to keep the family in good Krishna consciousness, then he has certainly that obligation. Otherwise, why did he marry in the first place? If he doesn't want to fulfill the... If he is not aware of the responsibilities of marriage life, then it is not good to marry. We in Germany, I will give an example. In Germany, we had many... in the beginning, devotees were not aware what it means to be a grihastha, and maybe due to weakness or due to attraction or due to some idea in the mind, they decided to marry. after some time, the children came, and all of a sudden they were confronted with a responsibility. These are my children. And then they had to work for the household, and they, because they didn't think of it in the beginning, they were completely overwhelmed. They were completely, how do you say, unprepared for this situation. So now we take care that we inform our grihasthas before, so that they know what is the obligation and responsibility, and that they also live up to these responsibilities. So in summarization, it is very good if grihasthas can preach, and if they can make an arrangement that they can go out, but they must be responsible towards their family. That is a delicate question. It is delicate because our goal in life is to go back home, back to Godhead, and we know that Mr. Lust is a great enemy. So I would say, to answer this question, you would have to see, is a woman mature in Krishna consciousness, or is she just a good singer? If she is a mature in Krishna consciousness and a good singer, I feel it is possible that she sings, but some brahmacharis might feel I'm getting a little nervous, and I do not, or my mind is on a different level, and if this happens, then it is not so good. I would say it's nice if Madhujis, who are good singers, they sing sometimes when many guests are there, because it must be in Russia, like all over the world, guests are thinking, women are also sometimes singing? They might ask this question, right? So for preaching it is good. This is a very controversial subject matter, and I do not think that from the distance, being so far away from the situation in Russia, I can give one specific advice. But the general advice is we should always be very, very careful about Mr. Lust and not give him any possibility to prosper. Otherwise, on the other hand, we should not discriminate too much, because after all, we are a spiritual movement. And if brahmacharis feel that all women are maya, then they must go into the forest or into the mountains, since all the cities are very heavy women who are not at all informed about Krishna consciousness. This is from a letter of Srila Prabhupada. See, but this must be handled very maturely. It is not that this means, therefore, we should mix freely. No, we have a spiritual goal in our life, and we want to take care that no obstacle comes into this goal. This is our highest responsibility, and therefore we must stress very much that men and women are separated. Otherwise, our minds will, although we mean well, our minds will pick up some dirt.
Sometimes our woman in Krishna consciousness is more Maya than Karmi woman.
There is yes, some brahmacharis may feel like this, and I can definitely understand them, because no brahmachari would consider to marry a kami woman, but they would consider marrying a devotee woman. So brahmachari should not have anything to do with women. This is definitely a clear instruction. It is, this ashram is meant to establish this. Brahmacharis and brahmacharinis should not have anything to do with each other. They should become strong in character. They should forget the subject of the golden chain to material existence, which is called sex life. And this will be very helpful in the long run. See, our minds always want easy things, but these easy things are in many not very helpful for our long-term goal to achieve pure love of Godhead. So, yes, it is a fact. Brahmacharis must be very careful. But they must guard against an over-strong reaction. Someone, a woman lover and a woman hater are almost on the same level because all they do is think about women. And this same, these same things appeal to Madhujis also. They must be, who are in Brahmacharya ashram, they must be very careful, and they also shouldn't think and talk and think, talk and eat the men. No, you should go with your husband and hear the nice kirtan and the nice lectures and all.
Sometimes I want to create the room or
this you should speak with the local temple. There must be a local temple president. Yeah. I can understand the reaction of the brahmacharis, and as a sannyasi I have my sympathy for a strict separation of the members of the different bodies. But any brahmachari and must be extremely careful that he is not falling too much into the subject matter, and that in a negative way he thinks about the same thing he wants to avoid. Prabhupada gives the example of a monk, a brahmana, who comes to a river. There's an older brahmana with him, and they go and want to cross the river. Then they see a woman, and the woman also wants to cross. So the younger man says, You please, but the woman can't cross because she would have to lift her sari and wade through the water, and there are so many men there, and she approaches them. Can someone of you please help me get over the river? And the young man carries her. So when they both come on the other side of the river, the old man says, so? No, the old man is silent. So they walk for 1 hour. Then the old man says, so you carried a woman. Are you not afraid of the reaction? are you not afraid that you did something wrong? This is not what you are supposed to do. So the young man said, I carried her for 5 minutes, but you are carrying her for 1 hour. The brahmachari should be aware of this phenomena. But you as a mataji should be very tactful. You should cover your hair. You should not do anything which might agitate them, as much as they shouldn't do anything which agitates their god sisters. Both must be very careful. Prabhupada said you should distribute books and you should also know what is in the books. Once the Sankirtan devotees were asking Srila Prabhupada, what pleases you the most? Is it, and they all expected that he would say Sankirtan. And he said, if you simply become Krishna conscious. And that's a great program, to become Krishna consciousness. For that program, we have been given the process of sadhana. We were speaking earlier about it. And it consists of Shravanam and Kirtanam. This is the basis. We hear about Krishna, the holy name, and from the books, this is hearing. Therefore, we must read minimum 1 hour a day. Otherwise, our mind will not have any spiritual subject to think about, and it might become attracted to material thoughts. Reading will make us sure and safe in our Krishna consciousness, and all arguments, either from outside and or from inside our minds, can be answered with Krishna conscious philosophy. So we must read a book and chant the holy name and be humble servants of the Vaishnavas. We should respect prasadam, see the deity and serve the deity, engage in kirtan, and all these standard processes of bhakti yoga. Then we will please our spiritual master the most. He ultimately wants to see whether my disciple is becoming Krishna conscious and whether he is capable to return back to Godhead within this lifetime. He wants to bring him to this stage, and for that the disciple must follow a lot of spiritual progress and spiritual principles. All the principles which are given. Not that one program is becoming all in all and eliminates the other standard programs. One program should be all in all, our service, but we will be only able to continue with our service for a whole lifetime if we have the right basis. So, Hare Krishna, it's the first time in my life where I was able to address. This tape might go to Russian devotees. So, Hare Krishna, hopefully I was answering everything properly. Haribol. Thank you.